And welcome back. It's Jeff Wells with Beyond the Rings Short Stories. I appreciate you being with me again today as I share from over 20 years, 10 different Olympic ministry outreaches about how God is at work during the Olympic Games. In this episode, I want to talk to you about pen trading. I realize as I talk about pen trading with people that for some it's confusing because they've either never heard of it, or if they've heard about it in some other context, they don't quite understand or get, if you will, what the appeal is or why it would be such a useful tool for gospel conversations during the Olympic Games. And I totally understand that. That would be like me trying to explain, somebody trying to explain to me, how they experienced the Grand Canyon. I've never been there. I've heard it's awe-inspiring. I heard it's breathtaking. And no matter how much somebody may try to explain that to me, I may not quite grasp the total concept of it. So I've put up on today's screen behind me a picture of me. Yes, that's me. Dark hair, much smaller version of me. From the 2004 Winter Games in Athens, Greece. Now, if you're listening to this online and you're not watching this, I'd encourage you to go to our website, beyondtherings.net. In fact, if you scroll down on the homepage, you'll see this picture above a section that I call Why Pen Trading. And in this picture, it is myself engaged in a conversation with a Mexican Olympic athlete. He was a swimmer for Mexico in the summer of 2004 in Athens, Greece. And in this picture, you see me with a lanyard around my neck. And on my lanyard are a few pins. Now, these are pins, I will call them lapel pins if you're not watching and seeing this image, but they're lapel pins. They're not writing pens. I understand there's several different types of pens, P-E-N, P-I-N. It is a lapel pen, and it is about, they can range in size. The ones that I'm making for Paris 24 are going to be about 2 inches by 2.5 inches. On my water cup here, again, for those of you who can see online, it's a little bit smaller than this. And if you see the image in the screen, if you can see that, any detail at all, you can see that there are various sizes and shapes and styles of pens. So here's the deal, as much as I understand it, and I'm not an Olympic pen, trading expertise by any stretch of the imagination, but here's my understanding. That from the very earliest days of the modern Olympics, 1896, athletes and Olympic officials would use cardboard, sometimes cloth, identifiers. And it would often, indicate, and these were self-made to identify what country they're from, what sport they're with, things of that nature. It's my understanding over the years that some of the early pens would take on the form of, like I said, cardboard. And they discovered, hey, we're at this worldwide event. You got to remember back in the early days of the Olympics, they were crossing the ocean by boat, for weeks. Looking for unique memorabilia from their experience, they discovered, hey, let's just, I don't need my badge anymore. You don't need your badge anymore. Let's trade. And so that's kind of my understanding of how pen trading, Olympic pen trading, got its origin. Now, you fast forward, and there's lots of different articles out there about this, but about 1988, when the games were, I believe in Calgary, was the first big pen trading push, using the metal lapel pins, much like we use today. Very early rudimentary versions of those, but that's essentially what they were. Where pen trading began to really pick up steam and began to take off in popularity. So that by the time you get to Athens in 1996, in Athens, Atlanta in 1996, pin trading was a big deal. And the numbers that I see going into the 2024 Paris Games are, something like, it would not be uncommon to have hundreds of different types versions of Olympic pins. And there are some major categories like corporations. If you're an official Olympic sponsor, like worldwide is Coca-Cola or has been, I don't know the current status of their sponsorship, but it's been like Coca-Cola. It's been McDonald's, Dow Industries, Kodak, believe it or not, back in the early days of my Olympic experience, Kodak was a big sponsor, and on down the line. So they'll have pins. And then you'll have some pins that are unofficially associated with the Olympics. For example, when I was in Canada, Vancouver, during the 2010 Olympic Games, the Apple stores in that area had made up lapel pins that were basically the mimicking the size and layout of iPads and iPods. And so the idea was, if you would go to the Apple store, each day they would have a different pen. They had four different versions. And it was that it was either an iPad or an iPhone or an or an Apple Pod. Maybe it was iPhone and iPad. They were red and gray or silver, like the Apple color. And you could get a new pen, and they had four different versions, and it had a maple leaf in the middle. So it was red with a maple leaf in the middle, but it had no Olympic rings. It had nothing about Vancouver 2010, because to use those images, you have to pay the International Olympic Committee a fee. And Apple, wanting to take advantage of the popularity without paying the additional fee, just made these additional pins that were not official Olympic pins, but they were released for the intention and purpose of the Olympics. You'll have a lot of those kind of pins out there. As I said, in this encounter with this Mexican swimmer, he had a pin as a swimmer for Mexico. Specifically for his event, his team, the Mexican swim team. So even though the pens we use are gospel pens, we don't trade. We never want to trade. It's not conditional. I'll give you my Jesus pen if you'll give me a pen. That's not how we use pen trading. We will use pen trading to engage and start the conversation. And like in this picture with me, virtually any pin on my lapel, on my lanyard, I'm willing to give up, because I don't care much about a McDonald's pin if I can engage in a conversation with somebody and share the gospel with them. And so I'll try to navigate a good trade, because I don't want to be seen as a fool. But at the same time, that's not my ultimate purpose. I want them to get the pin they're interested in. I'll get one of medium interest. Occasionally I'll get some that are really cool, but again, that's not my ultimate goal. And then I'll say to the person, like I did with this Mexican swimmer, hey, I'll give you a pin if you'll let me tell you the story behind it. So think about that for just a minute. He's told me his story. He's in Athens. He's from Mexico. He's an Olympic swimmer. That's kind of his story. Well, my story is I'm in Athens. I'm a pastor, and I'm there to talk to people about Jesus. So he used his pen to tell me a little bit about himself. I used the gospel pens to tell people about me. And the most important thing about me is my relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's how we use Olympic pins for this unique opportunity. And they really do allow us to engage in authentic encounters with others that we can then, by using the pens, bridge and transition that gospel, that conversation to the gospel. By focusing on the pen, by using the pen to tell the story about what Jesus did for us, and then offering it to them free, no strings attached. They don't have to say a prayer. They don't have to be nice to me. They could tell me to fly, take a flying leap after I share the gospel with them. It's still theirs if they're willing to take it. And again, that's another illustration, is I can hold the pen in my hand and I can tell them about the gospel. I can tell them how Jesus died to pay the price for their sin. But until the moment they receive this gift, it isn't theirs. And the same is true for us, that we may know about Jesus. We may be able to tell stories that we've heard from grandma or mom and dad, or in churches when we grew up. But until we receive the gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ for ourselves, it's not ours. And so it's amazing to me how God would take such a simple piece of metal to help break down resistance, help remove barriers for the sake of the gospel. Now, here's what you have to understand, and I've talked about this before on a previous episode, but just to reiterate, my friend and mentor, David Gwynn of International Sports Chaplains and Action Ministries Internationals before that, he had a phrase. He said, we want to be personal evangelism with the highest integrity. And so what that integrity means to me and to Dave, as he taught me, and as I've experienced all these years at the Olympics, is if I'm not really interested in this person, then I shouldn't stop to talk to them. I'm reminded of, you know, any number of accounts. One that comes to my mind, I don't think I've shared yet, is when I was again in Canada, walking down the street, headed back to where we were staying. And there was a young woman on the sidewalk offering to read, do a reading for people with tarot cards. And so me and the guy I was with, we just kind of waited around politely until she was done with the person she was talking with, and they moved on. And then we just approached her and we sat down and we started talking with her about how, no, we didn't want a reading. We were just interested in her story and how she got there. Come to find out, she's American. She'd hitchhiked up to Canada to be there during the games. And we transitioned using the pen to the gospel. And we were able to share the gospel with her. And she recounted how she'd grown up in the church, going with her, I think her grandma, and how once she got into her teen years, she really rebelled and has pretty much been on her own since she was a young teen. And just the poor choices she had made, and how that resulted in her ending up where she was now. And we never once spoke about her use of the tarot cards. We never once, you know, got in her grill about, you know, playing with other spirits. Both are legitimate concerns for sure. We were seeking to engage in an authentic, genuine encounter so that we could win the right to share the gospel with her and to demonstrate with her the gospel, that we wanted her to know that God loves her, that Jesus loves her, and his forgiveness is available to all of us whenever we're ready and willing to come back and to repent and to return, whether for the first time and enter into our relationship with Christ, or for the 100th time after we've fallen and struggling with a particular sin. Jesus is always there, ready to catch us and forgive us and resume his intimate relationship with us. And so go to beyondtherings.net. You can see more stories about pen trading. There's a tab there on that main homepage that you can go and you can see the physical pen displays that I have put together that show the many of the pens I've collected over the last 10 Olympics. And you can get a better sense of what Olympic pen trading is about. And again, as you hear about the Olympics, as you see more stories, as you hear about Paris and the way the International Olympic Committee and the Paris Olympic Committee are preparing for the games in July, pray. Pray every single time for the gospel to be free and unrestricted, that for Beyond the Rings, people like me and those who are joining me, and many other ministries that will be there, churches and international ministries that will be there, again, trying to do what God has called me and Beyond the Rings to do, and that is to be at the Olympics in the host cities, sharing the love of Jesus Christ using Olympic pen trading. God is so cool and God is so great because he'll use anybody and anything to point people back to him and to draw men and women, boys and girls to himself. So thank you for listening today for this episode of Beyond the Rings Short Stories. Again, we are in the heat of raising money for the Paris 2024 outreach. And currently, we're into the phase of pen production. And so if you would like to help produce gospel pens to be used in Paris 2024, they cost about $3 a piece. And our vision, our goal is to produce 3,000 of them. So we need $9,000 to make the Jesus pens. Not the Jesus pens, the BTR pens. The Jesus pens are the tool my friends Dave Gwynn and International Sports Chaplains use, and it's a great tool. But we are making a pen, Beyond the Rings pen, and we're using a slightly different gospel tool, the three circles, instead of the wordless gospel. And like I said, $3 a pen. So if you donate $100, you'll help make 33 pens that can be used in 33 gospel conversations this summer. Go to the beyondtherings.net. There's a give tab there. You can give online. You can send a check. All the details are there. And I'm confident we're going to be using many, many pens this summer to have many, many gospel conversations. And because of that, men and women, boys and girls are going to come to faith to Christ both this summer and in the future because the seeds that will be planted. Thank you again for being with me today. I'll see you next time. God bless.